who is our head, our leader. And so we are just talking about working together as a team. And when I was seated there, something struck my mind that I want to quickly do before I go into my little part that I have to take today. Please, Apostle Manji, can you come, please? Dr. K, come. Don't mind me. I don't often do this. But as I was there, something just struck my mind, and I just want to do this. all right. Just put your hands together. Put your hand. Thank you. Bro Moses, come, please. Bro, God will come. Come, come. Okay. Two of you, just shift a little for want of space. Just shift a little. Yeah, two of you stand this way. Put your own hands together. Put your hands together. Yeah, don't hold him. Just give me a little space there. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Light. Where's Brother Light? Light, come. You are a prophet. Prophet Light. Don't worry. Keep your drink first. Keep your drink. Come. Let's walk together. All right. Light, stand in the middle here. Yahweh. Pastor, hold Light. Hold him. Hold his hands. Very good. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Church, are you watching what I'm doing here? All right. Now, I will ask us a question, a very simple question. Let's assume this is a chain. All right? Let's assume this is a chain. Mommy Bible study. The woman that takes us deep into the world. I like your teaching. Let me confess. If this is a chain and you are asked, what is this? The strength of this chain lies where? In the... You can stand up and come. Don't worry. Feel free. That's why it's called Workers Retreat. The strength of this chain lies where? Okay, the strength is here and here. Thank you very much, Mama. God bless you. Let me look for a brother. A brother. You that you are just coming. Happy New Year. So, the strength of this chain lies where? If you agree with her, just say, I agree with her. Okay, you agree with her. Thank you. Somebody's shaking her. Yes, my sister. It lies here. Here. And here. That's where the strength of the chain lies. Okay. Yes, sir. Your hand was up. Okay. You agree with that one? All right. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Now, the strength of this chain, if you say it lies here, sister, why? Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that actually I agree with her, but for a different reason. Is that the entire chain is only as strong as the weakest link, which is between his own hands.
Thank you very much. Now you got the revelation. First time you did not catch the revelation, right? Praise God. Now the strength of every chain lies in the weakest bond. The weakest bond. Now, this whole chain is as strong as this brother is. It means the area of the greatest vulnerability or weakness is still the area of the greatest strength. What I'm trying to say is that no matter how strong these four persons are, in as much as this one is weak, there's still a weakness. And this weakness will affect everything that this other, this bone and that one there, this one here, will affect them. And most time, what causes a weakness in a group, in a team, All right? Because the strength of the team also is at the weakest bond. So what causes a weakness in a team is most of the things we have discussed, we are discussing, and we are still going to discuss. And one of those things is if every other person is bent on growing, but this bond say, me, I no go grow. Carnality, prayerlessness. The person can be the head, can be the middle, it can be the tail. It doesn't matter where the position of the bond is. But if this guy, whether he is here or at the end there or wherever he's finding himself, is weak, there's no how we can go forward as far as this position is there with us. So the reason why we gather together as workers is so that all of us will come to speed and all of us will be able to run and get to our destination with no one pulling us down. Scripture speaking in the book of Hebrews, I think that's 12, right? It says we should look up to who? Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. It says we should lay aside what? Every weight and the, quote it completely now, and the sin that doth so easily do what? Now, weights are not sin, but weights can keep you down. A weight is anything that is extra, that is unnecessary, that you don't need for your journey or your race. Alright? So, it can be a weight, it can be a sin. Now, it can also be an attitude. An attitude. There are some people, they are workers, but they are not sinners. They pray, they come for Bible study, but they have one beautiful attitude that drags everybody down. That is not me, and it's not you. Amen. Amen. But if it is me, I repent. If it is you, do also what? So, that's just what I want to illustrate this morning. If you are blessed, say amen. Amen. Let me leave these bishops so they will go back. So, we have to come up, every one of us, to know that if anything affects you as a worker, it's also affecting every other worker. It's affecting. If your prayer life is down, don't mind me, I like talking about prayer. If you hate prayer, you will hate me. Because I cannot preach anywhere or say anything without saying prayer. If your prayer life is weak, and now let me say something. I think let me use this illustration rather than the one I wanted using. Sir, if fire is burning, big fire, you have wood, this wood, this wood, this wood. Let's say 10 wood you use to make this local fire, all right? And then it's burning. And you bring just one cup of water. You know that one cup, good cup of water can reduce the flame. Or let's say you just bring a bucket of water in that flame. It may not quench the whole fire, but it will reduce the flame. If every worker is on fire, and then we come together, just imagine the fire get quantity, the flame, how lash the flame will be. How lash the flame will be. So what we are saying is that when we are talking about co-heirs as co-laborers is that we should all work as a team. But if we must all work as a team, then we must be ready not to be the weak bone. Amen. We must be ready not to draw others down. If there's somebody in the choir that is weak, what we should do is not to talk the person down like the illustration brochures gave to us. Rather, is to help the person to come up like what that brother did, raising him up. Our first speaker said something that caught my attention, and I said when I come up, I will mention it again for our consumption, because now we day here, Abby, he don't talk go. So we, me, and my pastor will continue to re-emphasize those things until, was it not on Wednesday? Mama, you taught us repetition. We'll repeat it until we get tired and we know that, okay, you have caught it, then we'll now stop. He said that he has a vision, and his vision wherever he goes is to do what? Race leaders, not followers. That thing struck my mind so strongly. And I said, I will say something when I come up on that. If you are a head of a department or the head of a unit and you travel and your department suffers because you are absent, you are a failure. I'll repeat it. If you are heading a department, choir, ushering, media, sanctuary keepers, the department I love most, if not name, eh? Media, any department, and then you travel, and then that department suffers because of your absence, even though other members of that department are there, you, as the head of that department, you are a failure. All heads of department, wave your hand to Jesus. Don't worry, you are not a failure now. Just wave your hand. Only two heads of department are here. Where are the rest? Including women fellowship, men fellowship, youth fellowship. All our departments. Welfare. Let it not be that they did Mommy Masho. Where's Mommy Masho? Mommy Masho, how many people have you raised to cook the way you cook? Plenty. The day you will travel, we should taste their own food. If you travel and we say, Mommy, my show is not here, this fellowship, we not go eat today, we'll postpone now. Then there's a problem. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. Don't mind what I've given to speak. I'm talking like somebody who is in the house. Pastor, she am permitted. So if you are given, so it is now your responsibility to ensure that you raise people. You raise people in your department. Not to boast, not to take credit for anything. But I want to use something to illustrate. Recently, we started the pre-service prayer meeting here. And when we started, you noticed that the first 2-3 Sundays, for those who were here, I was coming here every day. Even when I was to minister somewhere, I will come first and do pre-service this thing before going. But after 1 month, have you been seeing me in pre-service? So often, except if I'm here. If I'm not around, I know that it will run. The reason is because you commit things into people. Pastor Chuk said something. Allow them to make mistakes. Correct them and let them grow. Don't assume that they have not grown enough to receive responsibility. It is in giving them responsibility that they do what? They grow. Some people grow in the work. So, when you give them responsibility, they grow. There's a sister one day, we gave her pre-service prayer this thing. And when she came, I was looking at her. She's a younger colleague in the office, an intern. So, I just called her. I said, you do pre-service. She said, no. I said, you will do. And when she came, when she started, I saw everything about her. I was shaking. I just closed my eye very well. I don't want to look. That's one thing. When I'm praying, I don't know. I close my eye a lot. Because I don't want to be distracted. So if I look at her, she may... So I closed my eye and I turned this way and I was praying my own and going. And as I was praying, I discovered that in the process of time, she started gathering momentum. Then the prayer point that was coming out of her again, I said, no, a person won't be in the Shiva before. So let's every one of us say, okay, I want to be eager to take responsibility. Be eager. I love Dr. Kevin and the wife when they came. They were eager to do whatever you want to give to them. Prayer, singing, you know, drum, you know, they were just there. You think I don't used to watch? I did watch, I did see. God help us in Jesus' name. All right, that is for that. Pastor, I rephrase my topic a little, but it's the same thing I'm talking on. But because of our team, I decided to make it such a way that it will go together with the team. Co-heirs are stewards of our emotions. Co-heirs are stewards of our emotions. We have talked about stewards of time. We have talked about stewards of talent. We have talked about stewards of treasure. There's also a responsibility on us to be stewards of our emotions. Stewards of our emotions. Very important. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Give us another translation. Let's read like 3 translations. Message. A person without self-control. Yes, take it together. In the message, you know, message used to give two this thing together. Yes, a person without self-control. Go ahead to 29. This is your message. It's not complete. Oh. Maybe start from 27. Uh-huh. It's not smart to stuff yourself with sweets. No, I beg, give us better translation. Give us NLT. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. A city with broken down walls. A person without self-control. Now give us King James Version. Yes. He that had no rule over his spirit. He that has no rule over his spirit. What is spirit? Let's start from there. What is spirit? Yes. What is spirit? I'm not preaching today. We are discussing. No, not the spirit generally. What, when you say spirit, what do you mean? What can you, okay, use one thing to liken to a spirit. Wind, breeze. You know, the wind is also described in the Bible as spirit. Yes. And the Holy Spirit is also described, one of the emblems of the Holy Spirit is the wind, right? So, the spirit is like the wind. It's immaterial. It's something you cannot see. Something you cannot touch. Alright? But you can feel it when it's present. Okay? So that is spirit. Alright. He that had no rule over his own spirit. His own spirit. Everybody say, I have a spirit. And I have rule over my spirit. Alright. Because we are talking about coerce and a teamwork, I want to say this. If you don't master your emotions, you cannot work as a team member. You can't. The reason is because in a team work, people are going to step on your toes. People are going to step on you. People are going to offend you. They are going to annoy you. And you must master your emotions to know how to react. So emotional intelligence is key to teamwork. It's key to teamwork. And that is all when we talk about success or relationship success. We're just talking about teamwork. Teamwork. Success in life is not determined only by intelligence, by talent, or by spiritual gift. It's also dependent on how we manage our emotions. I'll take that again. Success in life is not determined only by intelligence, talent, or spiritual gifts. There are many people who are gifted, many people who are talented, many people who are prayerful, but they still fail in leadership. They still fail in ministry. They still fail in marriage. They still fail as heads of departments, heads of units. Why? Because they have not mastered their emotions. So one thing that is also necessary for success in life is what I call emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is vital for success as a leader, because we are workers. All of us are leaders in different capacities. It's very, very important. Quickly, so that we don't waste much time. If you look at that word, don't mind me, I'm a primary school teacher. We have E and we have motion. I love it for when the other two speakers spoke. All of them mentioned this. Pastor Chooks mentioned motion too. So much. E and motion. Emotion is very simple. This morning I was just thinking, how will I make this thing so simple that even the children that are here will understand? Now, look at how I want to define emotions. Let's replace this E with X. X is the short form for anything, Abby. So let's call this E character. And then let's add in here. And then let's add motion. Now define emotion. Character in, that is emotion. Is your character traveling? Your character moving? Your character accelerating? Emotion is your character in motion. What is motion? Chooks. Movement. Your character. Do you know that you can be at home and what your emotion have, the damage your emotion have caused here will be irrecovery. So terrible. And you can just finish here and go, but he's dealing with it here. Or you can pick it from here and go home and will give you sleepless night. Character on the move. Character in motion. That is what I call emotion. Now, what is emotional intelligence? I'll use 5 words to define that, or 5 simple statements. Emotional intelligence is the ability to, number 1, understand your emotions. Understand your emotions. Many homes have broken down because people refuse to understand the emotions of their partners. The emotions of their partners. Sometimes you can see somebody and say, wow, your wife is so wonderful. She's so quiet. I love her that she's so quiet. I'm using myself now for example. Say my wife is a very quiet person. That one is number 1. Top notch for quietness. So you can see it and say, I love your wife, she's so quiet. But you have not asked whether me like this, I like quiet people. Because her quietness, you may be admiring it, but that her quietness is my biggest problem. I'm not saying my wife's own is my biggest problem. I'm just giving an illustration. God help us in Jesus' name. So, in that quietness, do you know there are some people that don't like people that talk? But unfortunately, they ended up marrying sanguines. I don't know how it happened to them. And then, that talking part is his problem. Now that you're married and you're a believer, you must understand her emotions. That this person likes talk. And when she talk, waiting she talk, she no mean her. Make her just leave her with her talk. If you take everything she says seriously, you will die. And she will continue talking. If you are with me, say amen. Now, there are people that are very quiet, like my wife. I enjoy her quietness because it helps us very much not to have problem with people. Because we can stay in any compound in the world. The only voice they will hear is my own. Yes. But if it's her own, somebody asked me, if they find everywhere, can somebody really see how your wife speaks? I say, I don't know. Even myself, I don't even know how she did it. But you see, it can be a big problem to another person when you have not mastered her emotions. So first of all, understand emotion is the ability to understand, or rather, emotional intelligence, sorry. The ability to understand your emotions, not just your emotion. The ability to also understand the emotions of others. So one, you have to understand your emotions, and then you have to understand the emotion of others. Understand the emotions of others. Understanding your emotion is good, but understanding the emotion of others is better. Why? Pastor, keep emphasizing it. We are a team. That's why I brought that illustration. We are a team. You must understand how this brother functions. You must understand that when he's not talking, it's not because he's angry. It's just because he doesn't like. And don't worry, let me not put the cart before the horse. There are some things I want to show to us today. Number 3, emotional intelligence is the ability to control your emotional reaction. Your emotional reaction. I want to ask us a simple question. I know everybody will get it. But I want to say it, but let me put it as a question. Is silence a reaction? A very big one, but do you know that the reaction of silence, it pain past the one when people they talk? And quiet people, that's their number 1 reaction. Example, my wife. She's my wife. You don't have to be angry with me. You talk. Can I have your opinion? Are you going to be angry? So, if you master your own emotion, you master her own emotion, you know her reaction. You should also know how you should do what? React in return. There are some people, they fight when people keep quiet. Me, if you keep quiet, in as much as what I want to do is good, as I talk, you don't have contribution, I take into action. I think I am one of those persons Brother Chooks described. I did something with Pastor here this morning. He said, Pastor, don't look me like he was asking me, should we start prayer? This one that my prayer is not. I said, sister, come and start prayer. He said, but I was asking you a question. I said, but I've answered it. The time you are asking, we are wasting time. Why not somebody just start? And the person who is starting can pray. So instead of wasting time, let the person start the prayer at once than to ask who starts when there are people here that could start. I don't know. Maybe that is how I do my things most times. And somehow, God, they help me. I used to get them right sometimes. Majority of the time, after all. So, you must understand that. Then, emotional intelligence is also the ability to relate wisely and peacefully with other people. Relate wisely and peacefully with other people in the team. You must relate wisely and peacefully. The Bible says, as much as it is in your power, live peaceable with everyone. Ability to relate wisely and peacefully with people. How many that? Now, four bar. All right, the fifth one. Emotional intelligence is also the ability to harness your emotions so as to reflect Christ-like character and to glorify God. Ability to harness your emotions so as to reflect Christ-like character. Christ-like character and to glorify God. The hallmark of everything we are doing on earth as believers is to bring glory to God. If the reason for... Okay, all right. Thank you. So the last point. Emotional intelligence is the ability to harness your emotions so as to reflect Christ-like character and to glorify God. Reflect Christ-like character and to glorify God. I like that scripture in Romans, right? That says we should do what? Conform to the image of Christ. Conform. Romans what? All right, they are putting it there. They will bring it up. Romans 12:2. Yeah. So, it says so that we conform to the image. Whatever we are doing on earth as believers is so that we will be like Christ. We will be like Christ. You don't find out? Okay, we gave you a wrong one. No, not this one. The one that talk about conforming to the image of Christ. 8:29. Thank you. Romans 8:29. Thank you. He said, for whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn, Pastor Stuke said that, among many brethren. Conformed to the image. All what we are doing is so that we'll be like Christ in our speech. We'll be like Christ in our thinking. We'll be like Christ in our relationships. We'll be like Christ in how we react to situations. That is why I keep telling us and I keep telling myself, if I am in a situation, what I ask myself is, if Christ were to be in this same situation, how will he react? Why? Because Christ is our standard. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. So that we'll bring out Christ-like character. And the hallmark of all of this is that we give glory to God. We give glory to God. Now, I want you to write this down. It's important. Your success in life is largely determined by how well you manage emotions and relationships. Your success in life is largely determined by how well you manage your emotions and your relationships. How well you manage your emotions and your relationships is important. They are the determining factors for success together with other factors that we already know. How well you manage your emotions. How well you manage your relationships. Pastor used to say something that, now man, let me put it in Pidgin English, paraphrasing what he used to say. He said, now man, they lift another man up. God uses man to lift other men. That's relationship. Now, how do you maintain that relationship? You must check your emotion. There are a lot of us, due to character bankruptcy, we have destroyed a lot of relationship that hitherto would have been our liftings in life. I give you an example. There's a young woman in the Bible, not a young woman. I don't know whether she was young or old, so let me not say young woman. There's a woman in the Bible, a queen in the Bible. Her name is Vashti. Vashti lost her throne as a result of wrong emotional management. She lacked character at the very time that she needed it most. Hear me, wives. It's important you know this. That no matter how irresponsible the man you are living with him is your husband, he is still your what? In as much as he is your husband. Respect him. If you are a wife, say I hear. Respect him. Respect him. It's important you respect him. That was what caused Vashti to lose her throne. The husband is a king. He has called everybody to come. And Vashti was so beautiful. And then after they have drank and make merry with his friends, he said, let me show you the beautiful wife I have. And then she sent for Vashti. He said, look at this drunkard. Now me, you won't come embarrassed before your friend. I should come and meet people that are drunk. He said, I'm not coming. And the man said, what? That very day, that very moment, they started searching for a replacement. Always know that you are replaceable. Everybody, you are replaceable. And if you know you are replaceable, then whatever you are doing, you will do it with humility. Like they said earlier, knowing that they are all gifts. Praise God. Praise the Lord now. So your success in life is largely determined by how well you manage emotions and relationships. And then quickly, I want to show us this quickly. God created humans as relational beings. Therefore, emotional maturity is not optional. It is essential for success. We are all created as relational beings. Nobody is an island. If you are here, you live alone. Nobody born you. You don't have siblings. You don't have friends. You don't have colleague. You don't have church member. Yet you are here in our midst. Can you? So you see, we are all relational beings. Humans are like, it's from the way God created humans to relate. That is how scientists discovered before they went and did telecommunication. Now telecommunication is a matter of network. All of them. If you see the way computer things work inside computer belly, they do what you need to do. They look human being. The way we are connecting with ourselves outwardly, anatomically, that's how also our inner parts connect with one another. If you cut one little tiny vein from my hand now, you will see I'm here and say, maybe it's not useful. You cut them. I go bleed to death. Why? Because every part of my body is connected to that small one. That is why what I was trying to illustrate here earlier. Now, let's look at five emotions quickly. And then we'll wrap it up there. I will not take all five of them. I will take only one. Just one for today. Just one. Examples of emotions that I want to look at. Number one, we have this. Number one is anger. You cannot see there. Fear. Is that how they spell it? How do they spell jealousy? S-Y. Okay, thank you. Okay, you see, sometimes you can forget something. All right. Anger, fear, jealousy. Let me add two. Many people don't know this is an emotion. So we have anger, the chief amongst them first. Let's start with that. That's the only one we are going to discuss because for want of time. Then we have fear. We have jealousy. We have pride. We have insecurity. Ushering department, cut tiny, tiny piece of paper. At the end of this class, you give everybody. I have just one question for everybody to write and give me the answer. All right, thank you very much. So, anger, fear, jealousy, pride, insecurity. Five emotions. In a group like this, in a team, people that are in a team like this, or in your place of work, or even in your home, you must find these guys parading themselves, you know, around. But they have their good part if you direct them well. But they are mostly seen as negative emotions. Anger, somebody can just step on you here now, you flare up. You scatter everything. Fear, there are some people as a result of fear, they have refused to grow even as believers. You give them responsibility, pastor, I know fit, do that one. You tell them, do this one, I know fit. Come take, I know fit. Just fear. Others, na jealousy. Hear me. If the person ahead of you is better than you, don't be jealous. Strife. If the brother you are in the same team together is doing something you admire, but you are not able to do, it's not a sin. Swallow number four and go to him. Instead of being number three, just go to him and say, bros, I want to learn how you take the do this thing. If you know mommy Preyo, you like the way she prays. It's not a bad thing if you ask her how she developed herself to start praying for 30 minutes for 1 hour. If you know you have somebody that loves studying the Bible, it's not a bad thing if you, people have met me and asked me, I want to get this information about this, how you do this, how you do this, how you do this. And I'll just tell them, it is very simple. It's just how to develop it. Now, our mommy and our daddy, the Oyibos, they have helped us now. A lot of us now, every day we are reading 4 chapters of the Bible. Eh? Even though recently, because I have a lot of work, I'm lacking behind. But I will find 1 hour and you know? So, what I'm trying to say is that instead of being jealous of the other fellow, strive, there's nothing bad in striving to be like that person. Everybody has his place of strength. The person you know that this is the area. Don't say, hey, he's outshining me. No! Go and say, look, guy, I want to develop myself in this area. Is it in prayer? I want to develop in prayer. Is it in Bible reading? I want to develop. Is it in music? You feel, bro, Chooks, I like the way he presses the keyboard. I want to press it like that. Go and meet him. TCRC worker, if you are hearing me, say amen.
Amen.
Good. Now, the last guy there is insecurity. This one is what has killed a lot of people. Insecurity. Oh, I wish we have time so that I talk on this. But we'll talk on it one day. We are still together. There are some people, as a result of heartbreak, they have refused to go into relationships again. They have become so insecure when it comes to relationship. Today, you're already being delivered.
Amen.
Yes. That you had a heartbreak. If you enter a car, you get an accident. Doesn't mean you don't enter a car again. You enter. In fact, the moment you get an accident, a car goes to carry you. Sometimes it's not for bike, you get an accident, a bike goes to carry you. I remember one accident I had on bike when I was doing service. I will never forget it in Kefi. So, we're coming from Total. Then it's one lane, not double lane like now. We're coming from Total. I was living around Dadinkoa, that downside of Dadinkoa. So the man was to cross. My bike was okay. One old man was riding one bike without light. Yeah, I saw him. I was tapping my bike. A bike is coming ahead of you. Ba, Usamana. I just stuck and the bike is coming. The guy, no, yeah, the next thing I heard was we're in the floor. Haba. The only thing that came from my mouth is Haba Mana. Haba. Praise the name of the Lord. Haba, bros. I don't even know what to tell him. He's not understanding English.
Me, I know they understand now. So it's just, at least there's one that both of us can understand. Praise the name of the Lord. And the man just woke up, old man. Ha, yakuri, yakuri. Before they finish the yakuri, I don't define my way, just they go my way. So you see, but did it stop me from entering back? So why is it that because of heartbreak, that brother A broke your heart, you are seeing every other relationship that is going to be like brother A? That is insecurity. Come out of it. Grow. Tell somebody, grow. So you can outgrow it. Let go of it. Life is bigger than that person that left. Better people are coming. And don't be so insecure that when the better comes, you judge them by the bad. You will not see the better in them. Don't judge every other thing that happens in your life by your past experience. I was supposed to teach. I won't preach now. Let me go back. So, we have five kinds of emotions. Anger, fear, jealousy, pride, insecurity, and then the rest. You can add lust, so many of them like that. But let me just deal with one and then wrap it up. Anger. Mastering strong emotions like anger. Anger is a very strong emotion. Give us quickly Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs 14, 29. Proverbs 14, 29. Thank you very much. 29, not 12, 29. Thank you. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalted foolishness. Folly. Give us NIV. Please write these scriptures down. They are very important. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays foolishness. My father in the Lord used to tell us that anger is temporary madness. So anytime you want to get angry, say to yourself, I don't want to be mad. I'm a sane person. I'm not a mad person. Give us verse 17 of this same scripture. Verse 17. Verse 17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. An angry man acts foolishly. The other day, the scripture said, it's better to be in the wilderness than to dwell under the same roof with an angry woman. There you use woman, sir. But here he's telling us man. Anger has destroyed relationships that would have taken us farther in life. Anger has kept a lot of people stagnated in their Christian work. Out of anger, they have destroyed a lot of things. Like they said earlier, anger is not a sin. It's just how we react to it. Uncontrolled anger can lead to sins and different kinds of destruction. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and do not sin. It means it's possible to be angry and direct that anger well. There's something I placed one day in the WhatsApp. I say, if you are be angry where? The best place to be angry is on your knees. Go and pour all your anger there before God. He will accept it. Nobody will see you. Quarrel with him there on your knees. Be angry there. Don't channel the anger to your wife, to your husband, to members in the choir. Because your husband offended you at home, you came to the choir, you offend everybody. Transfer. Remember, we are 18. So we must have this understanding. Alright? Anger becomes dangerous when it controls decision, influences words, damages relationships, and leads to regret. Anger becomes dangerous when it controls decisions. Someone have said, don't make a major decision when you're angry. And don't also make a major decision when you are super excited. Because the Bible says when King Xerxes realized later on that Vashti was gone, he felt bad. But now he has vowed by the laws of the Medes and the Persians that law is irrevocable. That's the same thing that happened to, what's his name? Before he chewed Daniel into the lion's den. King who? King Darius. He was super excited, and after the excitement, he made a useless decision. So don't make a major decision when you're angry. Don't make a major decision when you're angry. So anger becomes dangerous when it influences or when it controls our decisions. All right? Influences words. Watch your words when you're angry. Watch your word. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Somebody was telling me, you know, me and my wife, we are talking, I used to say stupid, foolish, yeah, yeah. And then she will get angry. I say, are you serious? You mean you, child of God? Those kind of things still come out of your mouth with your wife when you are, not when they are angry. He says them jokingly. Then imagine what will come out when he's angry. No, imagine what will come out. You see, one thing, I like church. I like church a lot. When we are in church like this, nobody they talk, yeah, talk. Everybody they control in mouth. But let's leave church and walk to our offices. Eh? And let somebody just do like this. I just did something to him. Step on your toe. Are you stupid? What nonsense is this? Are you mad? Amen. Amen. Church, amen. My daddy used to tell us something when we were small. He said, when you go to a stream and you remove your clothes and you're bathing, all right? You know, in our side, we have a lot of water and all that. We don't even know bathroom used to exist when we were growing up. Streams everywhere. Jump, you are out. No waste of time. Whether you rub soap or not. I used to be. Until today, I still bath like that. You know? Then you rub soap all. Just, when you come out, you are finished. I just go your way. No waste of time. The only thing I don't waste time in doing is bathing. Just, if I tell you, say, give me 2 minutes, make I bath. I don't come out. So, he used to tell that when you go to a stream and you remove your clothes and you're bathing, and suddenly a madman comes around, pick your clothes and start running to town. He said, what do you do? Do you know that when you chase the madman, you are the one that is really mad? Because the madman may even be wearing clothes, but you are running naked. As funny as it may be, that's how a lot of us behave when we are angry. The madman of anger has visited us and we just go naked. They will know from Genesis to Revelation everything that is in your heart. You will pour it out. Answer. You that you like saying your mind, don't say that your mind when you are angry. We don't want to see it. Because sometimes your mind when angry, the color is not pleasant. So watch what you say when you're angry. Anger becomes dangerous when it hurts. Okay, I've not gotten there. When it damages relationships. Relationship. How many relationships have you damaged as a result of anger? Breakups here and there as a result of anger. Hapamana. There are a lot of us, before we even got married, thank God, God showed you mercy that you got married. You know how much angrier you have, you have used anger to chase a lot of brothers from your life. Not only brothers, even sisters too. And now you are using anger to scatter your department in TCRC. Not this TCRC, it's another one. Nobody will scatter any department out of anger. It leads to regret. Of course, anger leads to regret. Let me just join everything and wrap up. Now, write this down, please. When you go home, think about it. Emotion is a servant, not a master. Therefore, we must be good stewards of our emotions. Emotion is a servant, not a master. When emotion becomes your master, it's dangerous. But when you steward your emotions properly, it can be your biggest strength. Your biggest strength. Causes of uncontrolled anger. One is pride and ego. If you are here, you have uncontrolled anger. Watch. Anger is not your problem. Your real problem may be pride. Now, I'm doing what I do best, my profession. You know?
As a scientist, we do what we call diagnosis. We don't just look at you and say you are sick. We want to know why you are sick. What exactly caused the sickness? How tiny it is. Microbiology, they will culture it. You see the sputum. When you look at your sputum, your saliva, let me use saliva. Or sputum, we are all in the same people. You look at your sputum, you discover that there's nothing there. But when they go and cook it, give it some things to eat, then whatever is there will now grow and start doing guy like this. After 24 hours, I've been at 48, how many of them they do and say, they start doing guy. They now know that this guy is responsible for this. So that's what we want to do now. The problem is not anger. Anger is just the emotion. But the real problem that is fueling that thing that makes you to be easily irritated, this is the diagnosis. It may be pride or ego. It may be unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. Oh, should I say this? Maybe I should say it. There are some people, when they married their wives, they were very wonderful people. They don't used to get angry. But suddenly you discover that right now, every little thing irritates her. Please, as a husband, sometimes just call her. Take her to Alvari, close to my house. Go to the side that is very quiet, that people will not disturb you. Okay? And then ask her, please, what did I do? Or what did our children do? Or what is it that we agreed that we'll do in this marriage that we have not done? That is really changing the way you are behaving. It's not a bad thing for husband and wife to do that. Let's not sit down here with beautiful faces and handsome faces and claim we don't have family issues. So I know you have. Because I have my own. But you have to deal with it before it becomes a big flame. Before it becomes a big flame, you have to deal with it. And one way of dealing with it is asking yourself very deep questions. Unmet expectation can change an angel to a devil. Unmet expectations. My time is up. Hurt and unresolved pain is another reason for anger. Hurt and unresolved pain. Hear me, brothers and sisters in the Lord. When you have problem with a fellow brother in TCRC, walk up to him. If you cannot, talk to the pastor to call both of you together. Don't allow it linger for long. It will destroy the group. When you have problem with your wife at home, your husband at home, please don't store it up in your heart. It's not a... I don't know what it's in the store. Talk about it. Resolve it. Poor communication. Poor communication. That's where I'm going to stress a little before I wrap it up. Then stress and pressure can also lead to anger. Stress and pressure. They come in different ways. Stress and pressure. Financial pressure and a lot of other stuff. In Proverbs 29:22, the Bible says, an angry man stirs up strife. An angry man stirs up strife. We have biblical principle for anger management. I think this will be important if I mention it. For anger management. After that, I will jump to maybe something the last and then I will wrap up. Biblical principle for anger management. Number one, pause before reacting. James chapter 1 verse 19. Pause before reacting. Be slow to speak. The Bible says in James 1:19, quick to hear. I told somebody recently, the reason why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth is so that we hear more than we speak. James 1:19. Slow to speak, quick to hear. Pause before reacting. Number two, pray for inner calm. Pray for inner calm. Can you give us Psalm 4 verse 4, please? Psalm 4 verse 4. Pray for inner calm. Number three, speak wisely and not emotionally. Speak wisely and not emotionally. Psalm 4 verse 4 says, be angry and do not... Psalm 4 verse 4. Yeah, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. And be still. Give us Proverbs 15 verse 2. Proverbs 15 verse 2. Speak wisely, not emotionally. Speak wisely, not emotionally. Yeah, he said, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Speak wisely and not emotionally. Number 4, make allowance for offenses. Create allowance in your life for offenses. Don't walk and think that you will never get offended. Create allowance. Create allowance. Make space. Build space to accommodate the weaknesses of others. That's what the Bible says. Make space for that. Then number 5, forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13. Colossians 3:13. Forgive quickly. Quickly. Forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Alright. Colossians 3:13 says what? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Forgive quickly. The reason why the thing still they pain you till now is because you have not forgiven. If the person do and there, you forgive that moment. When you go home, you won't ponder over it. But while you're pondering over it and it's giving you sleepless nights, it's because you have not forgiven. Don't procrastinate forgiveness. It's easier when you forgive immediately than when you procrastinate it. Alright? If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now, controlled emotions, write this down, produces respected leaders. Controlled emotions produce respected leaders. If you are a leader that you want to be respected, you must learn on how to control your emotions. Finally, since we're talking about anger, you must master the art of peaceful communication. Words are power, and words shape our relationships more than intentions. You can have good intentions, but your words can destroy that good intention. Very good intention, but your words can destroy them. I said words are power. They shape our relationship more than our intentions. Good intentions with wrong words equals to wrong intention. So we must learn how to express our intentions with words that are appropriate. With words that are appropriate. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21. Many conflicts are not caused by what we meant, but by how we said it. And hear me, sometimes, instead of, if you say something that is wrong, you can waste a whole lifetime trying to explain that one wrong statement. And you may not get it right. Principles for peaceful communication. I will stop here. 1, a gentle tone. A gentle tone. Not tone, T-O-N-E. A gentle tone. Proverbs 15 verse 1. Quickly, you can write it down. Proverbs 25 verse 15. But give us Proverbs 15 verse 1. Or rather, give us 25:15. Give up Proverbs 25:15. Thank you. He said, by long forbearance, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle tongue breaks a bone. Kind words penetrate the heart even more than harsh words. Learn the act of using kind words. So a gentle tone, soft answer reduces tension. The person came. I remember one time, somebody approached me like that. Early in the morning, the person was just ranting. After the person said everything, I just said, good morning, sir. The person just said, but what is good about this morning, sir? That was all that solved the problem. All the ranting ended there with that good morning, sir. A gentle answer. A gentle answer. Listening before speaking is important. Proverbs 18 verse 13. listening before speaking. Respectful language. Learn to use good language. Learn to use good language. This one is in marriage. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. You can put it up there. Ephesians 4, 29. Respectful language. There are some people, because the man have done something that you are angry. Mommies. I'm not only talking to mommies anyway. Mommy Chooks, Abby. Okay, let me talk to you now. Because Daddy Chooks have done something that you are angry. And you don't know how to get back to him. You cannot beat him. You cannot say you will not give him food. There's nothing you can do. So you want to get back to him. You use one word that you know if you use it, his ancestors will get up from the grave. There are people that are good at that. They may not say much. They'll just think you with one word. You go back and use 5 hours thinking about your life and your family members. Respectful word. Look at what the Bible says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Watch your word when you're speaking. Is it edifying? The words coming out of your mouth. Will it impart grace? Okay? Then clarity, not accusation. Speak with clarity. Speak with clarity. You see, I thought you should be able to understand it. Now you are an old person. I have a member in my church that like doing that to the wife. He said, but I said it to my wife. Now I thought she would understand. I said, but you didn't. The wife said, he did not tell me anything. He said, but this is how I said it. How can you be communicating with people in codes and you are struggling to decode? Are you a computer? Make it clear. If I am telling pastor, daddy, please carry this my Bible when you are going inside. Let it be carry this my Bible when you are going inside. Don't do like my son. If you put it the other way, he will put it like that, the way you gave it to him. Now you give him like that. If you say, if you like when you are going inside, don't carry that Bible. He will go inside without carrying it. And when I call you, why didn't you carry that Bible? He said, you say, when I'm going inside, I should not carry the Bible. Pastor Chooks, repent in Jesus' name. Your name is everywhere here. Yeah. You know, that's how some of us communicate, even in our homes. My son taught me never to use that word again. The day he did it for me. And then, funny enough, after a while, I saw a skit on that. All right? Of a man that was telling he was eating soup and eba. Maybe you have watched it. And then the child came with a cup of water. And they said, daddy, where should I keep the water? He said, turn on for here now if you don't get high. That is not how to communicate. In a formal setting like the church, you pass information directly. Hey, mommy Prayo, I'm not going to be in prayers today. Please, I know you asked me to lead. Can you look for somebody? Kindly look for somebody to do it in my place, please. Thank you very much. You have gone, and then where you are, it was 5 minutes to the meeting time. Ha! Sorry, I've been traveling actually. But I know say people day, now we ain't going to take care of the thing. You know say people day. But now you then call me, you take care of them, and you travel. God deliver me and you. All right. Then timing matters. Timing matters. Proverbs 25 verse 11. And then I will wrap up with a statement. Even though there's something last I wanted to say. But I think my time is up. I'll wrap up with just one statement. And then that will be enough. A word is enough for the wise. Proverbs 25 verse 11. It is not good to eat much honey. 11 now. Huh? A word fitly spoken. I love this statement. It's like apples of gold in settings of silver. Give us NLT, Biko. A word fitly spoken. Let me read NLT before I say what. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. A word fitly spoken. Hear me. I'm wrapping up. You can have something that is very, very important, but the timing can make it very, very wrong. The timing. Your husband, I like using husband and wife because I'm married. Your husband just came back from work. You don't know what happened for office. You just they greet and we list and bill. It may be beautiful, but the timing is wrong. Or sometimes you are reporting an issue at a very wrong time. No matter how important that thing is, wait for the appropriate time to say it. There are some things that are very bad. If you say them at some time, then the reaction will be low. For example, somebody died today and you want to share the information. You have to be very careful if you don't want to carry another corpse alongside the one who died. You must look for the appropriate time and the appropriate words to use. So timing in speech is very, very important. Very, very important. Wisdom is, now write this down. The wisdom key here is that knowing what to say, how to say it, and when to say it is very, very important. Knowing what to say is one thing. How to say it is another thing. When to say it is also very, very key. It's key. It's key. When to say it is key. You can have something very good, but you say it at the wrong time, that thing will become wrong. Somebody said, tone, that is how to say it. Tone often matters more than facts. Tone, how you say it. What to say, how to say, and when to say. If you forget everything, don't forget that. What to say, how to say it, and what? When to say it. I pray that the Lord will give us peaceful relationships as we walk this year in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. All right. I say I want to give a small this thing. Assignment back. Do we have those papers? Don't worry, Pastor. They are not going to. We'll collect them. Don't write your name. All right. Don't write your name. Just answer this question. I just want to use it for something. I will collect all of them. I want to see the dominant thing that is dealing with all of us. Not just here. Even outside here. There are 5 emotions I've written here. Just write the one that is dominant in your life. The one that troubles you more. That right now as I'm talking, you are praying that God should help you deal with it. Anger, fear, jealousy, pride, insecurity. As you are writing it, you are being delivered from it already. Just write it and pass it back to the ushers. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. Thank you, sir.